Well, here we are. It seems that we have once again found our way into the dog days of summer, named for the rising of Sirius, the dog star. The dog days are typically the hottest, most uncomfortable part of the summer. Our energy is stifled. We are left feeling downright lazy. Every year about this time, we tend to have a dampened spirit and even less motivation. We struggle to pull ourselves toward anything that even remotely looks like being productive. In these days, we all tend to become more dog-like, never moving when we can lie down in a cool place. And if we must move about, we do it with our tongue hanging out. But what if our symptoms aren't seasonal? What if the weariness has become chronic? What if the symptoms rose long before the dog star and offer no indication of setting with the passing of time? What if our weariness is about more than climate, about more than even physical depletion of being run down or tired from a busy schedule of life's hecticness? What if it is more than a nap can fix, or it goes beyond tired, sore muscles? What if our weariness is one that is felt in our bones and in our very souls? To one measure or another, this is where we find ourselves today as we hear the invitation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Well, that seems to be an invitation that is either mocking us or betraying the emptiness of Jesus' words. From the place of our depleted selves, this invitation seems to elude our grasp. Rest for our souls? Maybe we're missing something. Maybe what Jesus is offering is a different kind of rest than what we so desperately are needing. Maybe the words Jesus spoke have an altogether different meaning. Or maybe not. The Greek word for rest, anapousis, means refreshment, renewal, recovery, or rejuvenation. Well, that somehow makes it worse. Jesus was promising exactly what we need. But where is it? Oh, falling asleep to the sound of a rushing mountain stream through an open window at night, breathing the thin air overlooking the Rockies, stargazing above a mountain lake beneath the dark night sky, it was certainly refreshing. But the shelf life of this refreshment is surprisingly short-lived upon re-entry to daily routine and responsibility. What we need, what we really need, is access to a self-sustaining rejuvenation that somehow not only carries over and endures, but finds a way to be replenished while on the fly. Maybe what we need is balance, rhythm. Eugene Peterson seems to capture this aspect of Jesus' invitation in his translation of these verses. Are you tired? Worn out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the enforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It's not that getting away is a bad thing, some kind of slothful habit to be broken. Jesus knew getting away was an important part of the spiritual life. He knew he had to rest, and he knew we would too. When weariness set in from his teaching and healing of multitudes, Jesus invited his disciples to step away with him to a deserted place to rest. Well, there you have it. This is permission, a note from the Master to take time to get away for renewal and rejuvenation. The story is told about a South American tribe that went on a long march day after day, when all of a sudden they would just stop walking, sit down and rest for a while, and then make camp for a couple of days before going any farther. They explained that they needed the time to rest so that their souls could catch up with them. But Chad Martin calls us to notice that Jesus' words say as much about work as they do about rest itself. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the enforced rhythm of grace. It's more than just a matter of finding a rhythm of work and rest that allows time for your body and soul to be replenished. It's also about finding rejuvenation through the work you're doing. Sometimes there is work to be done long after your need to rest is very obvious. You must find a way to, refuel on the fly. That begins with pursuing your passion, that divinely appointed purpose which ignites a spark within you, setting you aflame with the very source of all creative power. It reminds me of a poem that I saw etched in a glass window of a posh office building known as The Art of Living in downtown St. Louis. It's a quote by James Michener. The master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation, his love and his religion. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he's always doing both. Well, let's face it. Life is not all fun and games. Sometimes life and the work we have to do seems meaningless. Necessary, but meaningless. These are the mundane tasks that so quickly make us, as Jesus says, heavy laden, depleting us, never offering any spark of renewal to our body or soul. Yet, the work has to be done. The secret seems to be doing these kinds of tasks with a spaciousness that opens the time and the task, unbinding us and unburdening us from the work. A spaciousness that allows you to work with love. Khalil Gibran says, "When you work with love, you bind yourself to yourself and to one another and to God," which not only overcomes the weariness of isolation, but also is the essence of what joy is, a joy which has the power and the ability to restore and replenish your soul. Jesus' call is to walk with him and to work with him. Watch how Jesus does it. What will we see if we watched how Jesus worked? Seems interesting that the two descriptive words Jesus uses about himself in extending this promised rest for our souls are gentle and humble in heart. It kind of seems like this might be the secret to receiving the promised rest for our souls. Gentleness and humbleness of heart might be the two keys that can open the door to that promised rest. How much of the burden that weighs us down is of our own doing, because we have forgotten to be gentle with one another and with ourselves. Think of the freedom we could find if we lost the weight of conflict and judgment of one another, the weight of shame or guilt that we carry, thinking that the struggle is somehow our fault or caused by our own weakness or shortcomings. What can be heavier than our own guilt? We need to be gentle with others and with ourselves. Until we are, we will forever be weary and heavy laden. And here's the good news of the gospel. This rest that Jesus promises us does not come with strings attached. There's no need to strive to meet the demands that others place on us to receive this kind of rest for our souls that Jesus promised. It's found in the gracious invitation to each and every one of us to simply go to the one who calls us. Biblical scholars make clear that verses 28 and 30 of Matthew 11, the heart of this pericope, and one of the most tender, soothing passages in Scripture, is about Sabbath, when Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who are weary," is framing the Sabbath as less a set of rules and more a way of living that honors rest and good work. We've had a brief reprieve from the heat and humidity of the dog days of summer in the Midwest, but the weight of our depleted spirits need more than a few cooler days. This kind of weariness can be lifted only by walking and working with Jesus. Walking and working in love, with gentleness toward others and toward yourself. Walking and working in humility. Watching and learning how to enter His rest, a rest that refreshes and renews our souls, a rest that is promised to all who hear and heed Jesus' invitation to come unto me. Amen.